Amen. You can be seated. Turn with me. We'll just go a little bit different direction tonight. Turn with me just real quick to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And in singing what we're singing by the Spirit there, it is bringing us into unity. See, that's one important thing about the praise and worship portion of a service. It gets everybody into unity of what God wants to do in that service. Because we've all come from different actions before we came in this building. Some were at work, some were at home, some were out running errands. Some were dealing with maybe some kind of large circumstance. Yeah. And so when we come in together, we take the time to worship God because it gets us flowing in unity and pulls us from all the different directions that we were and puts us on the same page.
Amen.
Can I put it that way?
Yes.
And I want you to see here what it says in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 1, it says this, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Notice, when the day of Pentecost, when it was time for an event on God's time clock, it mattered what they were doing.
Amen.
If they hadn't have been doing the right thing, the right thing would not have been able to come to pass. Many times people don't realize that when God wants to move a certain way in a congregation or in an era, if the people aren't doing the right thing, what God wants to do won't come to pass. Notice for what God's plan was to come into the next big thing. Yeah. It took everyone being in one accord.
Yes.
To go into the next phase of ministry, it'll take everyone being in one accord. To go in the next building, it'll take everybody in one accord. You know,
yeah,
to go into the next thing, everyone has to be in one accord.
Good.
It's so important.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that the oneness that is necessary. Why? Because until everybody's in the same place, moving the same direction, you can't move forward. Have you ever been looking forward to vacation? Ever look forward to vacation? And you plan months in advance. You save money. You get out all your maps, print out all your maps off of Google, whatever you do. And you start mapping it all out. You buy all the snacks, buy all the kids, all their vacation clothes, you know, get all the swimsuits or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Get everything loaded, get everything packed up, get it in the car, and there's, you know, mama and daddy and four kids. And you're trying to get out, you know, it's usually the husband, "Come on, we're leaving. We're leaving at 8 in the morning. We're leaving at 8 in the morning. Everybody in the car at 8 in the morning." And 8 in the morning, Bobby's looking for a shoe, and 8 in the morning, you know, little Frankie over there is trying to find his, you know, his pet rabbit that got out. And they're all doing their own thing. And daddy's losing his vacation victory. Because come on. What is it? Get in the car. We can't go till you get in the car. Get in the car. And, you know, your vacation voice has changed. The night before, everybody was all up and about it. But when it came time, everybody wasn't where they should be. And no, we can't go. We can't go till you get in the car. That's what unity is. Get in the car. Quit messing with your little thing in the mirror and get out of that room. You know, you should have taken care of that business before you got to service. We're in service now. Be in the car. That's what unity is. And they were all with one accord.
Yeah.
Look at this. In one place.
In one place.
This is a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a big deal that the Holy Ghost arrived that day, but it was a big deal that the people were in the car ready to move forward.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
They were in one accord, in one place.
Yeah. Yes.
That's big stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There is a precious lady who's been part of our church, oh my goodness, I don't know, almost 20 years. And her family, her children, her grandchildren, all of them part of the church. And she lived out her life, and she was wanting to go home. And so in January of this year, her daughter works for us at the ministry, and so she lives with her daughter. And her daughter was at the office and got a phone call in January, mid-January, and said, one of the kids called and said, Grandma says she wants to go on home today. You better get home. Well, she only lived 5 minutes away from the house. So she jumped in the car and ran over there, and her mom said, I want to go home. And they said, Mom, are you sure you ready to go? She says, yes, we're ready to go. Got all the grandkids in there. There are six of them that live in that house. Got all the family around, and they got to tell her bye and just got to rejoice. And see, it's her choice.
Yeah.
And so they put their hands on her, and they released her and said, Mom, you're free to go. You know, everybody got to say what they wanted to say to her, and free to go. And so when they said that, her vital signs started dropping because they had some medical equipment there at the house, but she wasn't in the hospital. She was at home. They were able to monitor her vital signs, and they dropped and dropped and dropped. And for the next hour, they just declined and declined and declined. And she got to such a point that she had 1 foot here and 1 foot in heaven. And her body was here, and her mouth and her vocal ability was still here, but her seeing was in heaven. And so she was talking about, through her voice, what she was seeing there. And she saw her mother talk to her. And they heard the conversation on her end here.
Yeah.
And then she talked. She saw Ed. Well, see, she's in heaven. She's seeing into heaven. That's where he's at.
Yeah.
It's not a familiar spirit. It's
right.
She's there because she's seeing into that realm. And so she was talking to Ed, and she says he had just come back from preaching. He was wearing a suit. And I said, see, it does matter what you wear.
Yeah.
And wearing a suit, said he came out kicking his leg. Did anybody ever remember seeing him kick his leg, you know? She said he came out kicking his leg, and Mitch was in his pilot uniform and was standing behind him.
Yeah.
Still serving. See, the work carries on.
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't abruptly change when you get to heaven. You continue what you started. And so Ed comes up to her and says to her, it's not time for you to come yet. You need to leave and go back. And she says, no, I don't want to leave and come back. And so Jesus comes up. And now her family is hearing her conversation with Jesus. And he said to her, it's not time for you to come yet. You need to go back. And I like the question that she asked Jesus. You know, what would you say? You know, and I like the question that she asked Jesus. She said, what do I need to do to stay? I thought, I like that question. And he said, I need you to go back, and I need you to pray for your local church. And he told her three things to pray for. And one of them was this. He said, pray that they be in unity.
Yes.
Now, we don't have divisive things going on in our church. We don't have church splits. In 24 years of pastoring, I've never had a church split, and I never will, because the Holy Ghost keeps me in front and not behind.
Yeah, that's right. That's
I'm not behind a mess. I'm in front of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Instead, you need to pray that they would be in unity. Why? Because when people are in unity, then what God has planned can happen.
Amen.
Jesus told the disciples when he appeared to them after he was raised from the dead, he spent 40 days appearing at different times to the disciples. Remember? Over 40 days he appeared to them as well as to other Christians. And he told them, go to Jerusalem, tarry there, wait there. Why didn't he tell them the exact time? Why didn't he tell them the exact day? Why did he just tell them the general time? Go there, tarry there, wait there. Why do they have to tarry? To get them in unity.
Right.
It takes time to get, even though their bodies are in one place,
right.
to get their affections, their attention, their faith flowing together.
Yes.
How long would they have to tarry it, depending on how long it took to get into unity?
Yeah. There you go. Amen.
This is why some churches don't move forward in what God has planned, because God can't get the people into unity. And we need to pray that people be in unity, because the devil would love to use divisive things to stop unity, because when he stops unity, God doesn't work in division.
That's right.
God only can flow when people are on the same page.
Right.
I've learned this about working with my husband. My husband was a man of action. He was a man of doing. There's a lot of people who know principles of faith, but they're not people of doing. They're not strong in having faith actions. They know principles of faith. They will speak faith words, but they never follow it up with the doing. My husband was a man of action. He was a doer, and he kept the rest of us running at full speed to keep up with him, because his doing was so much that we had to keep up. And he would come in and say something that God had told him to do. And God did not speak to me what he spoke to him. Maybe if it was to start the Bible school or to start this arm of ministry or to take on this project, the Holy Ghost would speak to him. And God did not say that to me. He did not say that to the rest of the staff. He didn't say it to the rest of the congregation. God expected us to hear and listen to what he said to our leader. And then he expected the man to hear, he expected my husband to hear the plan from God, and he expected us to bring our agreement.
That's right. Amen.
It takes faith to bring agreement when you didn't hear.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Because a lot of people will say, in a husband and wife thing, the husband may say, God has said this to me, or the wife may say, God has said this to me. Another one say, well, he didn't say it to me, so we're not doing it. Because sometimes God will speak specifically to different ones for certain reasons.
That's right.
And you have to have enough faith to say yes and to agree when you didn't hear. Your pastor is going to hear what you will never hear. Simply because of the office and the position he stands in. It is the job of the congregation members to say yes to what the pastor heard.
Amen.
You say, well, what if he's wrong? That's between him and God.
Right.
Not my problem.
Right.
Not my problem. I know this. My husband was one of the most keen men in the spirit.
Yes.
One of the most accurate men in the spirit. But I knew this, not everything he said was authored by the Spirit, because he was a man.
Sure.
He could have an opinion about something. Oh, yeah. He could have a desire towards something that really wasn't initiated by God, which is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're human. We're going to have that. And there were times, I can only specifically remember one time that he wanted us to do something as a staff. He never said to us, God told him to do it. But I didn't have in my spirit quite the witness that this was you know, going to be favorable. And I said to him, I said, you know, that doesn't quite sit with me. And see, it's only my job. It's not my job to make him do what I want. But as his wife, I had an access to him that others didn't.
Yeah.
Don't wives have accesses and husbands have accesses to each other?
Yeah.
And your voice can speak into the other one.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't quite think that is the right thing for us to do. He said, I'm going to do it. And I said, okay. And I said, I tell you this, it doesn't matter whether it seems right to me or not. What matters is I will bring every bit of my ability to see to it that it succeeds.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Over time, it did not play out as he thought it would. And it cost us a little bit financially, not much, but a little bit. But I learned this in that. Is that God's not concerned about so much how correct his instruction was as how I was going to respond to my leader.
That's right.
I knew my job was to bring my agreement, not my opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
My job was to bring my yes and not the emergency brake.
Yeah, come on now.
You understand that? My job was to make sure that everything in me was in unity with my husband.
Amen.
Because even if the thing didn't play out and it cost us a little bit, it didn't hurt me to use my faith for that money. It didn't hurt me.
That's right.
You understand? So when your pastors come to you and say, God's put this on my heart, your job is to say, yes, sir. Your job is not to say, I don't think. It doesn't matter, because God's not leading you through what you think regarding this congregation. That's about your personal life. That's not about the church life. The church life gets its leadership, its cue from the pastor. And if he's wrong, God is big enough. That's one of the things that I told God whenever my husband went home to be with the Lord. Because one thing the devil tried to use on me in the past is, what if you miss it? And it dawned on me one day, and I said this after my husband went home to be with the Lord, is even if I miss it, God is big enough to make up the difference. Because I'm not purposefully going out endeavoring to get my way, do my program, do my thing. I'm endeavoring to follow God. And if in my endeavors I miss it, God is bigger than my miss. So you can afford to get in unity even if you don't quite think that's what you would do. Because even if it plays out that it's wrong, God is bigger than any miss. Unity is, and I was planning on teaching on you being rich.
This is what we need.
But there's going to be a lot of shifting and changing and moving. And I don't want you to ever slow your pace trying to decide whether or not you agree. Your job, yes, let's do it. Yes, let's do it. Yes, let's do it.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not hold back, well, I don't think. I don't think, and put on that emergency brake. Because God, you'll get in trouble with God deciding that you're going to be the voice to your pastor that tells what you won't move forward with. Never once did I ever get in the car when I was growing up with my parents, and when they were going to a certain location, I'd say, okay, you turn here. Okay, no, you go there. Okay, no, you go there. Mother would have given me the folded five ministry. Not the fivefold, but the folded five ministry. The other day, Bubby, my oldest grandson, I introduced him to McDonald's. His mother would not introduce him. And so I introduced him because they have toys. And so I told him, I said, do you want to go get a toy? And so he said, I do, I do. So I said, come on, let's go to McDonald's. So I took a McDonald's, you know, and we went through there, and he loved it. Loved the hamburger, loved the fries, loved the toy, loved it all.
Yeah.
So I put him on, you know, I put him on a rigid program only once a week. Here we go, you know, rigid once a week. So every week he looks forward to me taking him to McDonald's. Well, he got overly excited about where we were going one day, and he said, Nanny, turn left. Nanny, turn right. Nanny, go straight. I said, boy, you better sit it down and shut it up. You don't pay taxes. You don't pay mortgages. You do nothing. Do not tell me. When my husband went home to be with the Lord, it was my name that went on the as the guarantee for the church building. Sit down and be quiet and don't tell me. Until your name hits the paperwork on the church building.
Right.
Don't tell me.
Right?
Because if you will, if Bubby, if you'll just sit down and be quiet, I will get you there. Amen. You know, this is why marriages tear up. Because one hears and it's the job of the other one to agree. Well, and let me tell you this. Even in a marriage, the husband is the head of that family. But the Bible says the wife, that she is the guide of the home. He's not the guide of the home. She's the guide of the household. Yet he's the head of the family. Being head of the family doesn't mean I get my way as head of the family. Being head of the family means you evaluate what's best for everyone in the family. Then you make a decision based on what's best for everyone in the family. That's called being the head of the family. Not being King Kong of the family. Being the head of the family. Amen? The pastor is the head of the family. He's going to do, this local church, he's going to do what's best for everyone in the family. Whether you like it or not. Yeah. So when it came to our family, God spoke to my husband about things that pertain to the family. But things that pertain to the household, many times God spoke to me because the wife is to guide the household. God gives a woman, there is resident in her the ability to believe for a home if she'll cooperate, if she'll develop her faith and be move with the Word and the Spirit. God will give her grace to believe for her home because he's made her the guide of the household.
That's right.
I remember one time we were living in a particular home, and God had spoken to me years before that there was another home for us. And I had the sense that it was coming closer and coming closer. So when we went one day, we went to visit somebody, and as we were over their home, they said, you know, there's a home next door that the builder just finished, and said, would you like to go see it? And I go, oh, I'm all for that, you know. I'm all for looking.
Oh, yeah.
Looking enlarges you.
Yes.
If you need to get in a new home, start looking. Start looking. Even if you know it's not quite time to buy, start looking because it enlarges you enough so that when it's time to buy, you're big enough on the inside to move with it. And it gets your desire and your appetite, if I could say that, going. And so we went in this home, and we weren't even planning on... I wasn't even thinking in terms of buying a home yet. I just knew that in the future there was another one. But when we walked into that home, my spirit, it got excited. It's called the witness of the spirit. I got the witness. And so I went home that night and I said, now God, you've been talking to me that there was another home. Is this the home? He said, that's the home. Now, the man was not going to be selling it for another 2 years. He would build it, live in it for 2 years to avoid the capital gains tax. And while he's living in it, he's building the next one. And these are all, you know, larger custom homes. So it wasn't even going to be available to purchase for another 2 years. But he said, that's the home. I started talking to Ed about it. And when I did, he said to me, he said, I don't have that. He said, God hasn't said anything to me about the home, but he said, God's going to talk to you about it. He said, it bears witness. That's right. He said, so I tell you what, I'm going to let your faith take the lead, and I'll just agree with your faith. He said, I've got my faith on other projects. You let your faith take the lead on this project, and I'll bring my agreement. And then when it came time to buy, we were able to buy that home. Why? Because although he didn't hear what I heard, he brought his agreement. I had done that for him for years in ministry and in personal life, is that he heard a lot of instruction from God. He heard a lot of direction, and it was my job as the wife not to throw my opinion in. It was my job to bring the agreement. And you say, well, what if he does it wrong? Listen, God is big enough to pull us out. What will hurt me more is to be in opposition. It's more damaging to be in opposition to leadership than it is to follow leadership into a wrong thing.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so he said to me, he said, God spoke to you about that house, but he says, I tell you what, I'll agree with it. He understood that sometimes one hears from God and God expects the other one to bring the agreement. As a congregation member, God expects you to bring the agreement. When the pastor stands up and says, we're going to do this, our job is to agree. Why? Because when we get into unity, things happen. Things happen that will not and cannot happen outside of unity. And this is what Jesus told this precious little lady. He said, go back and pray that your congregation be in unity. It matters. It matters.
Right. It matters.
When we look here in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 again, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice there was a supernatural entrance when unity was the setting. God can enter a person's financial life when the couple's in unity. But if they're going to be in division and divisive and fussing and fighting, there's no divine entrance made. God will not enter at a place of division. He'll only enter at a place of unity.
Good. That's right. Amen.
If you need something from God, make sure that all you're connected with are moving together.
Yeah, that's right. That's so good.
So suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I don't know about you, but I like sudden things that happen from heaven.
Amen.
We have sudden things that happen from the devil. We have sudden things that happen from circumstances.
Right.
Suddenly things will show up in opposition,
sure.
Won't they?
Right.
Well, God has his own suddenlies.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Thank God.
And the more we're in unity, the more suddenlies that we can have.
That's right.
Notice, we just see what happened that day because they were in unity.
Yeah.
But because they were in unity, there was an entire move. They were in a whole nother church age.
Yes, that's right.
Because unity made the entrance. Yes, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in other tongues, but let's see what else that happened. What about, look down in same chapter, chapter 2, but look down in verse 41. Peter came out and he preached to the people about what is this that you're hearing and seeing. And it says in verse 41, at the end of Peter's sermon here, it says, then they that gladly received, see, it matters how you receive, that gladly received his word were baptized. What's that mean? They moved into it. If you want to move into something, you have to receive things right. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look at this. And they continued. They continued steadfastly, look at this, in the apostles' doctrine, in the apostles' fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Notice four things they did unitedly.
Yeah, that's great.
Same doctrine.
Yes.
One wasn't trying to get his little pet revelation in and trying to tear up this sermon that Peter had delivered. They stayed in the same flow.
Yes.
Believing the same thing, preaching the same thing,
yeah.
Moving with the same thing in doctrine. And then it says, and they continued in fellowship. Ah, I can't tell you how important fellowship is to unity. You can't hang out and find your best buddies on Friday night from the workplace and think you're going to come to church on Sundays and be in unity with the family here.
Sure.
You have to realize your highest fellowship is with your local church.
With your local church.
It's not with your buddies at work. I'm not saying you can't like your buddies at work. I'm not saying you can't have a measure, but it's not your highest measure of fellowship. It's not your highest flow of fellowship. To stay in unity, stay in fellowship with one another.
Praise God.
Your hanging out buddies need to be here. Notice that they continued in doctrine, but they continued in fellowship. You start fellowshipping with people of other doctrine and you won't continue in doctrine right. They continued in doctrine.
Yeah.
They continued in fellowship. They continued in the breaking of bread together.
Yeah.
It didn't say they continued in communion. They continued in the breaking of bread.
Yeah.
It matters who you eat with.
That's right.
I've noticed this, that when people get upset at me over the 24 years of pastoring and found fault with the church or found fault with me, they always called people in the church and wanted them to come over for dinner.
Yeah, come on.
Every time. That's
on,
part of this here.
Yes, it sure is.
Because who you eat with is what's going to go in your mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
So not just their food will go in your mouth, their talk will go in your mouth. So they continued in doctrine, they continued in fellowship, they continued in who they spent their day-to-day routine with. It was all together. See, this didn't just start in unity, it continued in unity.
Amen. Praise God.
And then the fourth thing, they continued in prayers. Matters that you're praying with people that you're in agreement with. And so we see these four things that they continued. See, that the unity didn't stop. And notice what happened because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice they didn't continue in the Pharisees' doctrine, the Sadducees' doctrine, the scribes' doctrine. They continued in the doctrine that God brought them into the next move under.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I came into this thing, my husband came into this thing under Dad Hagin's ministry. We're continuing in that.
Yeah, that's right.
We're continuing in that.
Right.
Dad Hagin's not here anymore, but the doctrine's the same, and the doctrine is right, and the doctrine is the word.
Yeah, it's the word.
What is God doing in this era? Same thing he did in the previous one, only more of it.
That's right.
He's not suddenly doing something different. We're continuing in the doctrine. And then when there was the continuing in the doctrine and in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in the prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done. This is still an outflow of the unity that we saw expressed on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
This is still part of it.
Yes.
You can't have miracles, signs, and wonders. You can't have the supernatural. You can't have displays of power without unity. These things did not happen just because they entered the day of Pentecost. It's because they continued steadfastly in doctrine, in fellowship, in who they ate and spent their days with, and in their praying, and because the unity, they did these four things so that the unity would stay intact.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
The Holy Ghost entered at a point of unity.
Yes.
If he's to continue to move, there must be a flow of unity. You are coming into increase. The family churches are coming into increase.
Yes.
It matters.
Yes.
It matters that we just not get excited at the startup, but it matters that we stay in unity in the way we think, the fellowship, not someone around the dinner table says, you know, I'm not sure that pastor ought to do this. I don't know about that building. You know, we're just got into our...
Yeah, come on.
Better stop that mess.
Better stop it.
That is dangerous stuff, because you start becoming a yoke to unity and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now we have this flow of unity that we see started in Acts chapter 2. It continues and manifests through miracles, signs, and wonders. Then you see miracles, signs, and wonders continue through Acts chapter 3. You see Peter and John raising up a crippled man. You see them arrested. You see them threatened. Notice who did they go back to?
Yeah.
The ones that had continued steadfastly in the doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread. They knew who to go back to because they were all in the same flow together before all this happened. Listen. When God brings you into revelation and he brings you into unity in the local church, when some crisis happens, don't run back to unbelieving fellowship.
Yeah, come on.
Don't run back to a church that wasn't preaching.
Right.
It's amazing to me how people come to our church, receive their miracle, and go back to theirs.
Yeah.
They don't know how to continue. That's going to be their problem.
Yeah.
They don't know who to continue with.
Yeah, right.
So when Peter and John were arrested and thrown into prison, then they were released. They threatened, rather, don't preach anymore in this name. They went back to their own company. What company? These ones that they had been in unity with. So they go back to their own company, and they keep increasing. Miracles, signs, and wonders kept increasing. Then we see over in Acts chapter 5, in verse 12, well, even Acts chapter 5, the first part, we see two people who started their own little club.
Yeah, they sure did.
Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
They were the ones not in unity.
Yep, right. That's right.
And divine discipline showed up.
Sure did.
Why? To protect the unity.
To protect the unity.
People aren't safe who won't protect the unity. Then, because the unity was protected divinely, then we, after Ananias and Sapphira have their come to Jesus meeting, it says in verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. What's that do? That keeps you in unity, brother. I'm going to keep close to Jesus. I'm going to walk the straight and the narrow.
Yeah, that's right.
And verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Why is that? Because the church stayed in unity. When something divisive tried to come, they wouldn't allow it. And then because they stayed in unity, look at verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed either one. Why did this happen? It's because of unity. The unity of faith, the unity of doctrine, the unity of fellowship. All these things, they kept moving the right way, the right direction with those who God had appointed to lead. They weren't out there giving out their opinion. Then we see that in chapter 5. Then we go over to verse 6. Excuse me, chapter 6. Chapter 6 in verse 1. And in those days, in what days? All these things are happening. And in those days, look at this, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Notice, why was multiplication possible? Because of the one accordness.
Yes.
There was multiplication. And in that time of multiplication, there arose a murmuring. What is this? It's something divisive. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Jews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. What is this now? Racial tension.
Yep. Sure is.
Yep. All this ethnic against ethnic, cultures against cultures. You're treating yours better than mine. Mine are getting treated, you know. That's not unity.
That's not unity. That's right.
I've told our congregation, you need to leave this racial battle fight for the men who don't know God.
That's right. Amen.
That fight is beneath the church. We're above that mess.
That's right. Amen.
Because in Christ there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile. They're all made one.
They're all made one.
They're all made one. They're all made one. Color is removed.
Yes.
All these things are removed when we're in one accord, in unity.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
And the political scene loves to bring the divisiveness of racism so that they can gain an upper hand. I tell you what, don't you ever let that in, because that stuff creeps into a church. That's what was happening right here. Racial division.
Yep.
You got that junk is beneath us. We don't vote for someone because they are a color or not a color. To vote for someone because they're a color is racism. To vote against someone because they're color is racism. That should not be part of the local church. Why? Because we're in one accord and we're doing bigger, better things than fussing and fighting over what color the outer 16th of your body is.
Yeah, right.
That's stupid.
That's right. Sure.
Can I tell you, it's small.
Small.
You have to be small to enter that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we are doing noble things.
Right.
We are doing kingdom business.
Yeah.
We're not doing that mess.
That's right.
I told in our church, we have a lot of blacks. We have a lot of Hispanics. And I said, we're not a black church. We're not a white church. We're not a Hispanic church. We're the church.
We're the church.
Why? We're in one accord. Why? Because we're in the flow of giving entrance to what God wants to do, and that's at the point of unity.
Yes.
The door of unity is what He enters through.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So see the strategy of the enemy. When there comes in days of multiplication, there arose a murmuring. I'm going to tell you, anytime you're going to have days of multiplication, know the strategy and the pattern of the enemy. There will arise a murmuring. It might not be about racial things, but it can be about all other kinds of things. There will arise a murmuring. Why? Because if you can stop the unity, you can stop the flow of the divine. I tell you, y'all are moving into... You're moving into some things at an accelerated pace in the coming years.
Yes.
And I tell you, unity is so important to that flow.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. But if you can't get unity in your home,
there you go.
Fussing and fighting, how do you ever bring one accordness to the local family.
Yeah, that's right.
Unity is not something you just do at church. It becomes your approach to living.
Yes.
I'm not fussing with anybody. Now, they might be fussing with me, but I'm not fussing with them. I don't dislike anyone.
Yep.
I don't hate anyone.
Yep.
I don't have ill will toward anyone.
That's right.
Period.
Yep.
They might toward me, but I don't toward them.
Toward them. That's right.
Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not safe with everyone.
Right.
And you're not safe with everyone. But I don't have ill will toward anyone.
That's right.
I just know who I'm safe with and who I'm not safe with. I stay with who I'm safe with. Who am I safe with? Especially those of the same doctrine.
Yeah.
Those of the same fellowship. Those who are eating the same spiritual bread together.
That's right. Praise God, Pastor. Good. So good.
Amen?
Amen.
So make sure there's unity in your marriage. Make sure there's unity in your home. And then bring that to the church, because it will result in supernatural demonstrations.
Yeah.
It will result in miracles, signs, wonders, healings, things that won't happen anywhere else where there's differences of doctrine and differences of opinion. And unity is pleasing to the Father.
Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes we bring our American mindset. Bless God, I'm free. Yes. I can think what I want. I can do what I want. But now you belong to a higher kingdom than America.
That's right.
And in this kingdom, it's run on the basis of unity.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So good.
I have seen that people that fought our local church, good things didn't happen. Why? Because they tried to destroy unity.
Right.
And if you try to divide something, you will end up divided.
Divided, yes.
Because you will reap what you sow.
Yes, absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
A strategy of the enemy is to try to bring strife, division, at a time of multiplication. And Abraham had that when he was increasing. Lot had some cattle. Abraham was rich with silver, gold, and cattle. Lot was rich with cattle. He only had one-third the wealth that Abraham was experiencing. But there started to be some division, some strife. And Abraham said, wait a minute, come here, Lot. We be brethren. Let there be no strife among us. Why? He knew, I've got to stop the strife or the increase stops. This place is on the increase.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What do we need to do? Be in unity.
Yes.
Unity with our faith. We're believing the same thing. We're saying the same thing.
Right.
We're saying the same thing around the dinner table. You need to know what is it that the pastor has assigned. What's the next project for the church? We're in unity with that.
Amen.
We need to be in unity financially with it.
Yes.
If we're withholding financially because we just don't believe in that, we just don't think he's making the right decision, you're not in unity.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
See, America doesn't really know too much about unity. I'm serious. In our, because we have so much freedom.
Yeah.
You know? And because there are churches on every corner. Some churches are out of the will of God simply by existing. Some should not be existing. When I was growing up, you know, you had one, maybe two Methodist church. I was raised Methodist. One or two Methodist churches in the town. We didn't have one on every corner.
Right.
When there's a church on every corner, it's because there's a lack of unity.
Yeah.
Somebody got ticked off and went down two doors and started another one. When we were growing up, because that was the only church mother would take us to, if you got offended with somebody, you had to straighten it out because you're staying there.
Yeah,
we need
right.
to go get to go pick up and go across town and go try that church and go
yeah,
try this church.
Now.
We learned how to hook in and stay.
Yeah.
That's called unity.
That's called unity.
That's straighten out yourself so you can stay.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Listen, when God calls you someplace, he doesn't give you option number two and option number three. If this one doesn't suit you, just get yourself in unity.
Amen.
Get yourself in one accordness. Amen. That's where the blessing is.
That's right. Amen.
I said, that's where the blessing is.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
It's the job of every one of us. To be in the car, ready to go. Not one standing at the kitchen counter still trying to get sucked down cereal, you know. And one in the bathroom, the other one trying to look under the bed to find the shoe. Get in the car, we're going places. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me to your feet tonight. I certainly didn't intend to go that direction, but hey. God, listen, not because there's any division do we say these things. But so that we'll know what to not allow. So we'll know what to watch for. So we'll know the pattern of the enemy and the strategies of the enemy. Because if I remember correctly, God said some things by the Spirit in these meetings about the multiplication and the increase that's going to happen. So the devil heard that too.
Amen.
So we need to be skillful. At not just our faith, but at staying in the flow of God.
That's
through
right.
Unity.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You heard Brother Tony what he was singing. Yeah. We're going to stay with the Word, the Spirit, the power.
Yeah.
What does that mean? We're just going to stay all going the same direction.
Yep.
Same direction. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for the help of the Spirit. We thank you, Father, for giving us the insight so that we will know exactly where to stand so that we won't be drifting away or drawn away from the place of multiplication, from the place of increase. Father, we're so expectant about the increase that's coming, the increase that belongs to these churches, to this ministry. We're so grateful. Now you have helped us to see better how to stay in the place of more, how to stay in the place where the supernatural can gain entrance, where the supernatural can flow and the supernatural can move. So we give you thanks, Father. We're thrilled. We're thrilled to be hooked on. We're thrilled we're in the right place, Father. We're in the right place. And so, Father, we'll move with the Word. We'll move with the Spirit. We're not going to move with our opinion, our feelings, our emotions, but we're going to move with the leading of the Spirit. We're going to move with our leadership. And we're going to move with your plan in this time, in this hour. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. This afternoon, while I was in my room, that healing anointing kept moving in my hand. And so tonight we're going to minister to those of you who need healing. On Monday night we ministered healing to many of you, but those were conditions called out by the word of knowledge. And there may have been somebody in here that had a condition that wasn't called out, but the anointing to heal will work for you too. Amen. So we're going to minister to those who may be in need of healing, who have not had hands laid on them yet. Let's just lift up our hands and let's worship him. Notice what happened. Not only did the Holy Ghost suddenly enter the earth and enter that upper room when they were in unity, but the outflow of that was miracle signs and wonders, healings that happened. And so we can expect that to happen. Amen. Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that that power that we yield to, that power that we respond to, that power that we say yes to, the Holy Spirit that we reverence and welcome, that he works miracles, signs, and wonders among us. And Father, part of what belongs to us as your children is healing. And so, Father, we thank you for your healing power tonight. Those of you who are in this section and you say, I need hands laid on me for healing, raise your hand if you would, real high. Come on up here if you would. And anyone in this section, come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you can just line up over here to my right. Just step up right about there. That's perfect. Hallelujah. Hey, sweet meat. How are you? Oh, my goodness. Hi, my love. She is adorable. Anyone over in this section that you say, I want hands laid on me for healing, come up here if you would. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those of you that are up here, repeat these words after me. Let your heart agree with them, if you would. Say, Father, I believe that when hands are laid upon me, the healing anointing of God will go into my body, drive out pain and symptoms, sickness and disease, and I shall be whole. In Jesus' name, I receive that healing power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name. Is this for someone else, love? Yeah. Father, we thank you for that healing anointing. And we're so grateful for the method whereby we can lay hands on cloth and that power is transmitted into that cloth and it shall be carried to that one in need of that healing. And we thank you that when it's laid upon his body, pain, symptoms, sickness, and disease shall leave. And if there's a presence of an evil spirit, that anointing will drive it out. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, love. Who's this for? For her? What does she need? Skin condition. Yeah. Yeah. Father, I thank you for that. Oh, there goes that anointing in her. Every bit of that dry up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name for him. Every bit of that leave his body in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. For ears, is it pain or what is it? Okay. Healed. Every bit of that difficulty come out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Young man, the hand of the Lord is upon you. So just direct your attention in preparing for what he has for you. Hallelujah. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Now this section over here, if you need healing in your body, if you would come forward and line up over here to my right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Healed 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 in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Now those of you in this section who want hands laid on you, come up here and line up over on this side. Praise the Lord. Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. When Dad Hagen had the experience of going to heaven, 1950, and Jesus put that healing anointing in his hand. Jesus said, when you sense that anointing leave your hand and go into their body, then you know they're healed. That's what we're to know. When that healing anointing goes in, then we know we're healed. He didn't say when pain leaves their body. He didn't say when their body changes, then they know they're healed. He said when that anointing goes in, then you know they're healed. So by Bible definition, the anointing going in equals healing. That's what the renewed mind believes. Amen. So that anointing went in, those of you who had hands laid on you, therefore you're authorized to leave this place and say, the anointing went in, therefore I'm healed. The anointing went in, therefore I'm healed. Word tells us the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That's saying the same thing. Amen. The anointing went in, therefore I'm here. Amen. And when you believe what Jesus said and what the Word says about that, then the fruit of that is forthcoming. Amen. Father, we thank you for healing power. We thank you for that healing anointing, that it does its mighty work. We're so grateful that we are recipients of that anointing. We thank you for that anointing. We're so grateful, Father. We're so grateful. It's so good to be healed now. We're so thankful to be healed now. That anointing went in. Therefore, we're healed. And I give you thanks for it. I give you thanks.
I give you thanks.
When symptoms or symptoms try to come, now you know what to say. No, the anointing went in, therefore I'm healed. Well, now see, look, your body hadn't changed. Now see, look, that pain's trying. No, the anointing went in, therefore I'm healed. I'm going to believe the Word. In the face of circumstances, in the face of symptoms, I'm going to believe the Word. That's called walking by faith and not by sight. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I heard the pastor thanking the Ministry of Helps departments and teams. I tell you, we appreciate it so much. what you do, because we're a family working together. You know, ministry is just this, just doing your part. And this week, y'all have done your part, and it's allowed us to do our part. And we value the supply you bring. It's not a less than supply than any minister brings to a service. It's a different supply, but it's not a less than supply. And so we appreciate it. Many of you have full schedules. You work jobs, you have children, and you still come and are faithful to your local church and to the services to move and cooperate with God, and we appreciate it. And if we could, we'd take your pastors and relocate them to California. Pastor Laketic, we'd let him come on too with his snuggie and come on and keep warm over there. And we got to talk often about your pastor over the last couple of days, Pastor Laketic, or Zed said Laketic. And every time we would adjust a thermostat, he comes to mind. Every time we walked through a store and saw an Afghan, we had to resist the urge to buy it for him. But this is a precious family to us, and we're just so glad to be a part of it and get to be with you. And we've received. I've been refreshed, and Pastor Ruby got to come. I appreciate it. Brother Tony came with us. I appreciate him and all those who did their part. And we can say we're blessed tonight. Amen. Pastor, thank you. Thank you.